lot of this material from sources that I was trying really hard. Like, I can deal with French, Italian, a little Spanish, sometimes even English, but I hardly ever, you know, if you're doing it in Cyrillic characters or in many other characters, it's pretty difficult. How is modern physics treated around the world? Well, that was the whole point of trying to do this, but trying to look at the syllabi of different countries is as I said, really difficult. But I found some really interesting points. As you probably guess, kinematics and dynamics used everywhere. But it's very odd that there's just a few countries where the actual curriculum, the syllabus for the curriculum, is law. For instance, here in Ontario, we call them policy documents because they have the weight of law all the way up to the final graduating year. I think in England, they have the weight of law up to 16 years old, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. But the A-levels aren't. So it's quite interesting what you see. The different countries base their syllabi on their basic philosophy of education. And as you can see, I've just defined three of them, and those are my own words, just from what I could glean from and people that I've talked to. And that is that there is a populist philosophy in a lot of countries where they expect everyone to be a literate citizen, even in sciences. And so the curriculum is based, even though it may be optional to take it, it may be based in an approach that really represents the philosophy in that country. And of course, here, everybody's supposed to be literate in science, and so we are sort of in the populist vein. Other countries don't have that. They, because of various reasons, they need to eliminate students at the high school level, make it much more difficult. They're not looking necessarily for students that are literate, but they may be, for instance, having people that will go into the classics, so they'll never see and have not got the opportunity to take physics. They may go into moderns, same thing. So each country has their own approach to it. Some countries work with having an actual physics course all the way up to and including final year. Some, like many places in the States, one course in high school. And that's it. And so there's a huge variety across the board. I've already talked about that. Kinematics used pretty well everywhere. Relativity and quantum mechanics are covered, and many times it's covered in a historical way. You know, talking about the historical, you know, how quantum mechanics started, early quantum mechanics. We even call it early quantum mechanics in our curriculum. The idea is that because they realize it's really difficult to do activities in it and things like that, that they leave it at sort of, you know, in a historical approach. Hardly any work in quarks, M theory, or any of the other more up-to-date theories. Some problems with curricula that come out. Come from what happens in that situation. It seems that sometimes curriculum seems to be carved in stone. Although there, on the surface of it, they say there's a review, they're won't to change it. And so what people have the impression of is that once they have a curriculum, I think like even though IB and AP do change, they don't change in any substantive way. And so you pretty well have, once you have the curriculum set, that's the way it is for a long time. We are now in a cycle of change in Ontario. And we've already submitted our document to the ministry to the changes we hope to see. And so we have a cycle of change. And there's a few countries that do. Some have adopted external, completely external. Like some countries have adopted the A-levels from Britain instead of developing their own. Some countries have adopted or just acquired the AP courses as their senior physics course rather than developing their own. So there's a lot of different approaches out there. But the most interesting point I found was the first one. In the States, there's been a 1/3 increase in the number of people graduating with physics in high school. And Ontario, I think, has been down all the way along. I think when I started, there were, if I remember, 36,000 senior Ontario physics students. Of course, I started a long time ago. And now I think the last number we heard was about 3 years ago, was 18,000. So we should be looking at what other people are doing to see if we can adjust it. So I didn't find anything other than what I had expected. And I was really looking to see if there was something out there. The one thing that was a really interesting point is the jurisdiction that seems to be ahead of the game, or at least two jurisdictions that seem to be ahead of the game, especially in the area of modern physics, Australia and the UK. They seem to be taking it on much more seriously than most of the other jurisdictions. Anyway, questions? You can ask specific questions about specific curriculum if you like. Yeah. Actually, I did not find any countries that use our curriculum, other than there is international schools that are international schools of other countries that did use the Ontario curriculum. And they changed when our curriculum changed. Many of them went straight to IB, International Baccalaureate. The international schools that were Canadian-based stayed Canadian-based pretty well. Oh, yeah, well, the interesting part is when the first iteration of this curriculum change came with the provincial conservatives a few years ago, they applied what was called, at the time, the Pan-Canadian document, which was a grade 1 to grade 12 document that sort of spread out all the what they called content items. But they included skills, too. Did not include attitudes or any kind of behavioral points. But they spread it out through all of the 12 years. And when they redeveloped the curriculum here, they essentially handed it to the developers. And that has, a lot of that was applied to our curriculum. I think Ed's in here. Is Ed still here? Yeah. Well, he was working on it at the time. I won't go into the horror stories. Yes, it was. Yeah. Yeah, and other provinces said on the surface that they would be doing it. And since it reflected the BC curriculum so well, anyway, because it seemed to have an awful lot of BC stuff in it, that they didn't need much changing. Alberta, when they did their redoing of their curriculum, I think it was a year after ours, took 3 extra years to do it, and still came up with something that was substantially different than the Pan-Canadian document. So in fact, as at the surface of it, other than BC, the surface of Ontario only is the only province that took on the Pan-Canadian document. I think Nova Scotia has redone it lately, but also hasn't reflected the Pan-Canadian. So there's just about all provinces are different. Now, philosophically, they're all the same. They want a literate citizenry. So it's still a populist document, even for the sciences. Yeah? Well, here it comes right down to the philosophy of education of that local community. For instance, I'll give you one example. Sri Lanka. They started out with trying to bring in the A-levels years ago, and they did. And they're fairly rigorous, but they are definitely a populist-based program. But what they did was to spend all of their time and money educating their teachers. They put their energy into their teachers. I think that per capita they have more teacher education institutions than anybody, any place I know. And they'll go anywhere to find new stuff. But they did not spend, I mean, it was essentially a reflection of the A-levels. And the rigor that they do mathematically, it reflects that. Other countries essentially want to know that they're getting the best students they can into university. So they have a lot of testing, a lot of exams, and what they call mathematical rigor. But I have to be honest with you, a lot of the material I found was incomprehensible by this person, because it was, you know, even the structure of the coding was difficult. You know, I don't read Chinese, Japanese, or anything like that, so it's kind of difficult. Other questions? Yeah. Well, here's the thing. In many countries, they would do that on purpose, because they may have substantially less numbers of spaces in universities or in post-secondary institutions, or they may have a philosophy of, we've got to show our best at that level. And therefore, they're much more severe, that's the only word I can use, in their testing procedures. Yeah? I have to say, yeah. Well, you're talking to someone that has some really jaded view of assessment. Let me be honest with you. Mass assessment to me is a pail full of. I won't go into that. Anyway, but like I've studied assessment for the last 12 years in really, really strongly. I mean, I spend at least 2 to 5 hours a week on finding out about assessment, and I have yet to find very much positive. So if they're doing testing like that, I know that in the distant past we used to have what are called departmentals. In fact, I was in the last year at the grade 13 level, what it's called then, that went through it. And the average mark for that year calculus in OAC, or for grade 13, the average mark was 51. The average mark in physics was 54. So, you know, when you say the numbers really have, you know, unless you're in the context, the numbers haven't got a whole bunch of meaning. So
I don't know.
Last question? Any questions?